Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is Believe in Vikings. I am your host, Dustin Baker. I'm here with Ron Saw, Sally from Minneapolis, and Brian McKinney, keeping the tight-knit panel tonight to go over the Vikings schedule that was released a week ago. So it might be a little in the rear view of your memory, but we still got to touch on it. And we'll talk about something that's also in the rear view because we got derailed by tornado sirens last week for recording. The kicker, Gabe Bertschich. Not sure on the pronunciation of the last name. I should get there. But yeah, he is here for 3 years to compete with Greg Joseph this summer. And then we'll talk, if we have time, get into the Luke Kuechly statement about the Vikings secondary, which he said the Vikings have the best secondary in the world. And we're like, what? So yeah, we'll chat about those items. That's on the docket. We'll also get some details from Bryant to see how his week was. He was absent last week as well. He had audio problems. But that's what we got on the agenda. And we'll also talk about Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, sports, and developments for the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and NFL futures at betonline.ag. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sports wagering needs, including live betting and the fan favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up and use the promo code from us, BLEAV, Believe, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. We are back after a one-week hiatus. We had some inclement weather in Minneapolis and then some audio issues on my end, evidently. And so it's been 2 weeks since we've talked, Bryant. What the hell you been up to, big man?
I have been keeping busy in those 2 weeks. A company called Executive Global Tours has reached out to me and actually signed a contract with them to travel to London the weekend of October 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
To host the golf tournament and go to the Vikings game. So I got to start talking about it and start making posts about it to get people to sign on to take that trip.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I haven't been so secret about it. We're going as well, so long as tickets aren't oddly rare to come across. So, yeah, I can share those.
Maybe if you sign on, because that's part of the package, like, travel, hotel, golf, one of those days, I think probably this Saturday, and then go to the game.
Oh, so it's like something that other folks can buy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I have to start making posts to get other people to come get on a trip. But I already got a bunch of friends that want to go because it's in London.
And yeah.
See the game. And it's like a week after my birthday.
Yeah. Libra season.
And
yeah, Libra season.
Sally, did you rule that one out for your travel schedule?
I mean, I think just financially, it's going to be tough for me to swing, so I probably will not be there. I would love to go sometime, but it's one of those things where I'd want to be able to stay for, you know, at least a week or so, and I'm not in that space at this time with the rest of the games I have to pay for. So, but yeah. So, Bryant, what's the name of the company?
Executive Global Tours.
Okay. How long of a trip are they setting up?
I'm not even sure. They were going to send me the details. I was assuming like from Thursday to Monday.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that's a segue. So thanks for that, Brian. Since we've talked,
sure.
We had some developments. The schedule was dripped out ever so slightly by the NFL. They said they were going to do it network by network. So I was like, oh, okay, we're going to get all the Fox games one day, all the ESPN. What they really meant was like a single random game that they were going to talk about on a Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, really? So I just have to adjust to it that this is the way it's going to be. But Sally, we got a 17-game slate, 9 home games, 8 road games, 1 neutral site that we just talked about. What immediately stood off the page to you about the schedule?
Well, I'm sure the same thing as everyone. Opening with Green Bay is an immediate big red exclamation point. You know, I don't love it. It's not ideal. I don't think it's the worst thing ever, because obviously if the Vikes pull it off and they win, that sets a great tone for the season, right? And I don't think any of us as fans could, me personally, I'm never higher than when the Vikings beat the Packers. That is the best day or two of my year. And so, I mean, I'd be ecstatic, but it on the flip side, if it doesn't go well, there might be a few mental breakdowns in our community. So it's definitely not the way you would want to start a season, especially losing at home to a divisional rival. So.
Yeah, let alone a season, like a first impression of everybody new on the coaching staff except Keenan McCardell. So, you know, if you start having that Viking stinking thinking like, well, what if they get their ass beat? Then you're going then it'll be all hell is breaking loose after one single game, which it would probably be already, but especially for the Packers.
For sure. And I guess what I'm just keep trying to remind myself of is how much anxiety we all had in 2016 when US Bank opened with the home game against the Packers, even though that wasn't week one. I believe it was week three, two. It was week two. Okay. I thought it was a little later, but I know we all were super anxious about that, and that was could possibly set a bad tone for our entire stadium. So it's not as bad as that. If they can win that game, they can win this game. And I love a 325. I love it.
Oh yeah. That'll get everybody psyched. Ron, mine, I don't know if you'll speak on this, but I rolled my eyes because they have 2 home games on holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve. And I live 4 hours away. And so if I want to have my normal routine of going to all Vikings home games, I'm going to have to bring my family and then sell my wife on the idea that we could do this as a group. And we usually host a big ass Thanksgiving party. So I was like, really, 2 games, home games on holiday? And so I don't know how I'm going to navigate those two. It's to be determined. Ron, what stood off the page schedule for you, my man?
Well, you know, kind of to piggyback on Sally's a little bit with the Packers. The reason why I like that actually is, you know, usually a new coaching regime, they usually, not saying they come out of the gates hot, but they like to kind of, whether or not it's a win or loss, they like to show that they're deserving of it. So I kind of like that to get it out of the way off the bat. Also, the Packers the last few years have started out of the gate pretty rough. If you remember last year against New Orleans, they got their asses kicked. So
that's called Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid.
I just love the fact that with Rodgers and the lack of weapons that they have on the outside, now that some of them could be Watson could be very good. Lazard can be a solid number two, but he's not going to play in the preseason. So he's not going to get that chemistry working with them. So I like it right off the bat at home. Cause again, it's one of those where it essentially counts as two, you know, you go up 1-0, you know, in the division, that's essentially 2 games in hand. So, but really the one that stood out to me the most that is odd, but I know in learning now that the Vikings coaching staff had the option of it or the team, they're no bye week after London. Now that's, it can usually be problematic because of the travel, but fortunately it is a home game and it is against the Bears, you know, and their wide array of weapons that they have, including Dakota Dozier on their offensive line. But the travel will make it tough because, you know, it throws your whole routine off. Bryant, I'm sure you can speak to this on whether it's a Monday night, Thursday night or whatever. If you're not a Sunday to Sunday, you know, a normal routine, it'll throw things off a little bit. I mean, no more of a bit of a distraction than you have than in the Super Bowl when the lights went out, and that kind of throws everything off. Now that worked in your favor, obviously, the way it played out. But what are your thoughts on that, not having a bye week after a travel?
Well, I noticed as well that there isn't a bye week after that, because I remember earlier we thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, in London, it's like 6 hours. Well, for Minnesota, it might be like a 7-hour difference. So by the time that game ends, it'll still be early in Minnesota, and they can still travel back. So by the time they get back, I feel like they'll probably give them off Monday and Tuesday and just tell them to come back in on Wednesday and, like, allow them to catch up on rest then. Because I can't see them wanting them to come in the locker room and watch. Like, I feel like the best situation is travel back Sunday. They'll get back sometime, like, Sunday evening or whatever. Like, a decent time at that. And then let them just give them off Tuesday, you know, Monday and Tuesday. They're already going to have off Tuesday anyway. Monday, you just had to come and live wait to watch film. Just give them off Monday and Tuesday and allow them to, you know, catch up on rest and then just get back in the swing of things for Wednesday and do the install on Wednesday and just go back to your routine.
Do you ever play overseas like that? I know it's ramped up over the past few years, and maybe back in your playing days, I know they had
I was never on the team that went. It was always one team a year.
Right.
I was never on that team that went.
Okay.
And they were usually bad teams too. So Brian obviously never had that experience.
Brian, let's pretend it's 2008. You're handed a schedule that says Vikings in London week 4. Are you pissed that you don't have a bye the week after, or do you prefer to have a bye a little bit later in the season?
I prefer to have a bye a little later. I wouldn't want to have a bye so like week 5 and
yeah.
like that. Give me like around week 7, week 8, you know. And give me a bye then. But to have a bye week, like week 4 or 5, that's, I feel like it's way too early. And I feel like in those weeks, you're still getting in the groove, you know, of just playing with who you're playing next to and just things like that, especially the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, definitely anytime after like week 5 at least.
Okay. So, yeah, this will be the third year in a row the Vikings have had a week 7 bye for you guys and gals
who get
really obsessed with this stuff. Yeah, I found that one by accident a couple of days ago. I was super proud of it. And then the Vikings have their 3 division home games happen right out of the gate. And before the end of week 5, that's it for division home games, which depends on how you look at it. It could be awesome, get momentum, or it could be like, oh, good Lord. You know, we're 2-3 after this. You got to be kidding me. Something trashy like that. Brian, I know you spoke on this in the past, but do it for new listeners. When you're handed a schedule as an NFL player, what is the first thing BMAC looks at?
First thing I look, I just kind of scroll down to the teams that I feel like, well, like the Monday night game, like the big games, I look at those. So who are going to play on Monday night, Sunday night, stuff like that. Then I start looking at who I feel like will be the tough opponents. And then I look at like when the bye week is. And then some teams I look at, I'll count them as like, we should beat them. You know,
yeah. If you're playing any of your friends or.
Yeah, like I always think about who's on that team and who I'll be playing against too. When I look at the schedules, like, all right, who's there at right end? Okay, I'll be playing against this person. You know what I mean? So like, definitely make sure you focused in that week and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you've echoed the takeaway that I had from you speaking about last year, is that you do care and you look at it, and you start tabulating. All right, we should.
Oh, no, you do. You start calculating things. Yeah. And you kind of, like, think about who's your opponent. Yeah, all those type of things come to your mind.
Okay. Sally, on these games, home or away, I know you're like me, you make it to all home games unless there's some weird shit going on. Tell me which games on the road that you have circled and are planning to attend and why.
I'm still sold on Buffalo. You know, we've talked about it many times. I just, I'm really excited to go there. Obviously, it's not somewhere that the Vikings go often, you know, once every 8 years, unless for some reason the stars align and like records match up. So yeah, I'm definitely going there. I was hoping it'd be a little earlier than November 13th, but I'm still sticking with that plan and I cannot wait. I've heard from mixed things. I've thought over like our entire lifetime that Bills fans have been very cool. And whenever they come to Minneapolis, they're always really fun. And I welcome them and I love them coming. But I've heard in the last couple of years, I've gotten a little aggressive or maybe arrogant. Arrogant's the word. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm sure it will be fine.
Have you ever had an experience like Ron had in Philadelphia where he was like personally offended during a road game?
Well, one time it was not as bad as that, but in 2013, when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL, that was Christmas Eve, right? Mm-hmm. In Washington. And I was at that game with my dad, and I used to be a little nerdy, and I had actually painted my face. And I went to the bathroom, and this woman had like a squirt bottle of water, and she squirted it in my face when I was like not really paying attention because I was just waiting in line for the bathroom. And then she walked out. And that was I think they had both won two games at that point.
Like a grown
woman.
That
was the RG3 Bowl, wasn't it?
yeah, and Andrew Luck, yeah. Yep, that's what that was. So that caught me by surprise. But other than that, just, you know, general smack talking, not really much.
Was this woman like mature looking or like a 19-year-old?
No, she was significantly older than me. I mean, she was probably in her 40s. I was 20, you know, three or four or something. So,
oh man. That's...
Yeah, I wasn't even asking for it. I mean, there have probably been times where I try to be very respectful because I know how frustrating it is when people come to US Bank and they're very annoying. And so I try to always, you know, be very respectful when I'm in enemy territory. But I mean, I'm surprised at how great Green Bay fans are when we come there. They're so welcoming and so nice. And I always have a really fun time in Green Bay. I wish I was mature enough to treat them the same way, but I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. That's another reason I don't want that week one. I need to ease in.
Yeah. That's what people are all, over these last 2 years are surprised about me when they meet me in person is that I don't talk shit. Like I don't, you know, mm-hmm. Vikings, we're going to beat you.
Never.
Blah, blah. No, because I know when I do that, whether I do it or I don't, within 2 weeks, somebody's going to miss a game winning field goal and I'm going to look like an asshole. So I learned like I was like 15. You don't right. brag about the Vikings. You can be proud to be a fan, but you don't walk around like Teddy Roosevelt with a big stick acting like a badass because it's going to come right. back to you. There's guaranteed.
Well, it's also kind of like no matter who you're a fan of, why would you talk crap about something you have no control over? Like it'd be one thing if you're Bryant and you're in the trenches and you're talking crap about winning, but like you're literally sitting in the seats and you want to get in an argument with some guy about what team is better. Like it's so strange.
Yeah, it is bizarre. Ron, you still got Miami. Is that your road game of choice?
I am. Bryant, I'll be in Miami for that game. You know, we got a little group coming down, just a handful of us. Couples possibly, but mainly because we went there in the last time we played in 14 and it was a lot of fun. Obviously that was in December right before Christmas, so getting out of Minnesota and going down there and it was a lot of fun. But so how's the weather in Miami in the middle of October?
It's still warm.
Okay.
Too hot for me.
Yeah, I was saying it's still kind of hot in October. It cools off like around it gets cooler, like less humid, like around Thanksgiving.
Okay. Well, and we'll bookend either or most likely after, like my buddy, his family has a place in Marco Island. So we'll spend a couple of days there possibly after. So, so either way, it'll be a nice, fun trip, but yeah, the wife and I are already arranging sitters to make our way down there. So, I know Dustin, you're not planning on going anymore, Sally. I don't know if you're planning on going, but
I'm not planning to right now just because of if it was going to be later in the season, I definitely would, but it's just a little too early weather-wise for me. I hate being hot.
If my London plan falls through for whatever reason, passports for my kids, yeah, then we'd pivot to Miami. The only reason that one has been ixnayed is because it's 2 weeks after London. And
right.
Yeah. And just with kids, it's not real conducive to uproot them twice in a row like that. No. But I look forward to the day I'll be empty nesting. I can do my job anywhere in the world. So in theory, I could hit all of these games once I'm an older gentleman.
The good news is just looking at Vikings Twitter, it looks like there's a lot of people, a lot of Vikings fans making that trip down there. Mm-hmm. So there will be a lot of purple. I know there were last time. And I don't know if you recall that game when it ended or it was decided on a blocked punt. But it was like a 37-35 game or something like that. It was a blocked punt for a safety. And it was just a fun back and forth. You know, both teams were out of it. We had Teddy in his rookie season. And so, yeah, it was a fun experience there.
Was it the same year as that wild-ass Ravens game? Or was that the year before?
That one was the year before because that was Cordero's rookie year.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I always put those in the two same bucket where I'm like, oh my God, what? Like, you know, both teams aren't going anywhere, but there's, you know, you still watch them because it's the Vikings and or both Vikings teams, I should say, weren't going anywhere. And I remember,
were you on that Ravens team?
Which one?
What year was that?
2013, I believe.
No, he went to the Dolphins.
I had already left for the Dolphins. Oh, okay. I was there at the beginning.
Okay. Because, yeah, that was, like, I remember just seeing the highlights of it even now where it was, like 20-something points scored in the last 3 minutes. Just crazy. Mm-hmm.
In the snow.
Yeah, I was at that, game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we decided to go the night before. So
your neck of the woods.
Yeah, Baltimore's, like, 3 hours from Richmond. So that morning we're like, all right, we're going. Conditions were terrible as far as, like, the roads go. So we just got there. We had no tickets. We waited in the parking lot and we got second row 50-yard line for $50 a piece.
Wow.
But this was like that in 2013. Been, so your phone barely worked, like when you're trying to, when it's snowing, you know. But it was really cool. But even sitting in the second row, you could barely see. The visibility was so bad, but it was a really cool game, other than being soaking wet. And that is a game where actually fans were throwing the snowballs. You probably remember they were throwing the ice balls at AP. Mm-hmm. And he got mad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a cool game. obviously, memorable.
Yeah, the wild finish. I always put that in the same category as the Dolphins wild finish road games that didn't go well. No, the Vikings one went all right.
Well, and I had a mental breakdown after that because they lost, as if it mattered again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I used to be take it very personally.
No, it's understandable. You you talked about the week one making you raise your eyebrow because it is trial by fire for O'Connell against the Packers. What do you like about the schedule, Sally?
Well, be careful what you wish for, right? Because we sat on here and complained about the Bears being the last home game like 8 years in a row. And now they decided to flip-flop it. I don't necessarily know if I want Minnesota playing there in the second week of January outside. That doesn't sound ideal, especially right now. Yeah, that field conditions are already terrible, right?
Right.
So second week of January, it's probably going to be frozen. So that's not ideal. But I will say I'm very glad that Chicago game is not primetime. Mm-hmm. They keep putting that in primetime year after year for no reason. So that's good. I mean, there's a few other things I like about it. I don't like Monday Night Football against the Eagles. I'll tell you that.
Now, Brian, wait real quick, back to Soldier Field. I know, when we had Devin Hester on, he had talked about how that field is, and I know you've mentioned it too. It's like sand.
Bobby Harris on a beach.
Yeah. Is it like, does the colder weather change that at all? Like, cause I know, like, I'm just trying to think of, if you're running on a beach or something and like the hotter it is, the looser the sand is. Like, does it actually improve?
It's also loose again if it's wet.
Okay.
So it really depends on like if it's too much moisture, whether it's snow or rain can affect it.
Is that the worst field you've played on or is Washington still worse? I know Washington is like notoriously bad for whatever reason.
Like which Washington?
DC.
Oh yeah, I feel like I don't know for some reason maybe because I play on it every year, so Chicago probably stands out more.
Yeah, Washington definitely has a really bad reputation as well. But I mean, why is that though? If you know that your team or your field is really bad, can these things just not be fixed, or do they not want to fix them?
Or Daniel Snyder.
What'd you say?
Or is in-house really complaining about it? I don't know.
Well, you would think
I said Daniel Snyder. Like, I mean, I don't think he cares.
I just feel like if visiting teams' players are getting injured because of the conditions, mm-hmm. so are your own players, right? So yeah. I guess I've just never understood that.
Yeah, the Bears one, I think, is just the mystique of it. It's old. It's going to be that way. And then we already know Daniel Snyder's not a humanitarian, so he probably doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great and then way now to the, put with it, yeah.
What was it or where was the Super Bowl played this last year? The I can't even
LA.
Recall. But
LA.
What mm-hmm. And is
SoFi.
That
mm-hmm.
is that artificial turf? Like, because what is it like, or is it the? Because I know there was a lot of complaints about like after Odell tore his knee, like how that type of field is conducive to knee injuries. Now, obviously on an ACL, like if you plant, like the non-contact injuries, when you plant, if you're not in grass, it doesn't have the give, but I've never played football on artificial turf, only, ran around, like playing soccer, but, Brian, is there anything from your perspective as far as like the artificial versus real, like what I guess feels better from a player's standpoint?
Artificial probably feels better as far as people are getting tackled. I remember we had like a little thing where we couldn't win on real grass or something for a minute. Like on the
long time.
Like the Vikings had like a thing like on a road, if it's real grass, then it's like we had weren't going to win. With the real grass, though, it can come up easier. I've never really seen the turf like come up or be moved. But the artificial stuff, I feel like, is a little softer and probably like a little better.
But can you get, do you get better traction in the real stuff? Like, I know you obviously can change out your
cleats. The real stuff, it can come up, like, you depending on the weather is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can dig stuff up, like, just playing with cleats on. So, but I feel like the artificial, like, the AstroTurf does it. Or whatever the, wait, you know, the new stuff. Yeah. Like, the, I'm thinking about the hard stuff, too.
The old, but the new stuff.
Yeah, that was terrible. But the new stuff, well, you fell fast on there, but if you fell, it was over.
On the schedule, I enjoy it on the whole because it's not as daunting, flat out, as last year. Last year, we stared at the schedule and we were like, good God. And it turned out, for the most part, to be a good God type of schedule. Now, I predict every year that the Vikings have 9 home games, I'll warm up to it right away. And then some interesting stuff on the schedule. This will be the first time in 51 years the Vikings have ended a season at Soldier Field. This is the first time in franchise history they've ever ended with back-to-back road games against the Packers and the Bears. So another trial by fire moment. And then aside from London, it's a close-knit schedule. The furthest west the Vikings play football is US Bank Stadium. Mm-hmm. Go figure that one out. The furthest road game, westerly road game, is the Packers. And so they won't travel, you know, west of the Mississippi River until next year unless they get to the playoffs. For dates with the Raiders and Broncos. Ron, tell me what you like about the schedule.
Well, I do like I'm looking at it here, the first 6 weeks prior to the bye. Now, obviously, like maybe it's the purple glasses, Kool-Aid, whatever, but those, like, they're all winnable games. Like even the tough games, like at Green or hosting Green Bay, like again, you get them at our place to open the season. So that, I feel like, levels the playing field a little bit more. And then at Philly, while yes, like Philly is an improved team, they still have Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And I don't trust him. Clearly they don't either, because they're talked about all the time as far as, you know, who's going to replace or who are they going to bring in. And then the other road games, you know, New Orleans is a neutral site game. So like, while if we had to go to the Superdome, obviously whoever they have at quarterback, it would be a tough game, but now you take away a road game or a home game from them and play it in London. So that levels the playing field a little bit. And then, you know, again, Miami, it's Miami should be a good team and it improved, but you know, are you sold on Tua or not? I personally am not. And while Teron Armstead is one hell of a left tackle, he's not playing on the right side. So it's like, sure, you bolstered up the front side for Tua, but that blind side is still out there. And as long as Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter are healthy, the pass rush should be able to make an impact in that game. So I really like those first 6 games. I think, you know, all of them are winnable, but if they come out of it less than 4-2, I feel like then that's where, you know, oh, great, here we go again. Or what are we going to do?
Yeah, you'd start to bang the drum really early on moving on from Cousins if they got out of the gate with a very weak showing, because this is set up for O'Connell to be successful. You know, by no tributable to him, it's just the way that it works, and the schedule's not too nasty out of the gate. On the schedule, Ron, is there stuff on it that you're like, oh, I don't like that at all, aside from the murderous stretch in November?
I mean, it obviously, yeah, ending with 2 road games in cold weather with Green Bay and Chicago, and the fact that those are always going to be rivalry games. So Chicago, if they have 2 wins at that point and say the Vikings are fighting for a playoff spot, the division rival game is always going to be that added pressure. So maybe even that from 14 on, when we play all 3 division opponents on the road, maybe that's kind of like, again, it could be either good or bad, because if you take care of business at home and then you set yourself up nicely in those last 5 weeks, you know, if you're sitting at nine wins or, you know, 8-9 wins by week 14, then you're feeling a little bit better. But if you're struggling, then you can't make up that ground, or it's going to be more difficult to go on the road and beat three division teams. So, you know, obviously the Dallas, New England, or the Buffalo, Dallas, New England, that's going to be a tough stretch, just with the road game and then Thanksgiving. And, you know, we've lost to backup Dallas quarterbacks the last 2 years. So
at home,
at yeah. home. So we'll see how it goes. But otherwise, we always know who our opponents are going to be once the season ends. So it's just, where is it going to be laid out? So even last year, looking at week one, we played the Bengals week one, and a lot of us thought, like, oh, great, like, losing to the Bengals, that's mm-hmm. going to be nail in the coffin for the season. They went on and played in the Super Bowl. Yeah. While it could have been a nail in the coffin anyways, it was, you don't know who you're playing. So even Detroit week three, maybe they're a much improved team with a second year head coach. And if Jared Goff plays like he did that 1 year when they went to the Super Bowl in with the Rams, you know, maybe they could be a solid team. So it's hard to look at anything and take anything for granted at this point, but you know, there isn't any big letdown, like, oh, we have four straight road games, you know, we're going east, going west. And,
no, there's, you know, none. So. There's none of that. And that is almost feels like a first of its kind, because we always seem to have that, whether it's the Monday nighter in Seattle, prime timer in Seattle, to roll your eyes at. But there's really not too much to think, you know, oh, my goodness, on the Cowboys at home. Half joke, half serious, I wrote on Vikings territory that let's hope Prescott plays, for the love of God, because we have better luck against him, because they actually plan for him, evidently. Sally, don't necessarily like the Packers out of gate, don't like finishing at the Bears. Is there anything else that grinds your gears about this schedule?
Well, it grinds my gears that the Packers get to play the Lions the last game every single year.
Mm-hmm. You know why that is?
Well, yeah, it's because the Vikings are playing the Bears every year. But
they like to, the NFL wants to preserve the sanctity of Packers Bears, and they feel, because of how the Bears have been recently, if they put them together in the last week, it'll be meaningless. So they always want the Packers and Bears game to be meaningful, not resting starters or.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do they do this to any other teams in other divisions?
I don't know. I'd have to study the trend, but that's why we always get the Bears, is because they want the Packers and Bears to play right before the end of the season, not in a meaningless game.
But that's ridiculous, because on the years where it is meaningful, mm-hmm. it would be even more impactful. That's right. Ridiculous.
Well, those are probably years then, like, if the Bears show an upward trajectory, then next year it'll be, hey, we'll put them week 17. But when's the last time that the two of those teams have been good the same year?
The Bears beat the Vikings to get into the playoffs on a week 17. And then the next year they didn't put them against the Packers.
Yeah.
So, okay, now I'm upset about that.
It's all those owners in Green Bay that have that pull.
That must be what it is. I mean, other than that, I don't really have, I mean, I agree with you guys. It's obviously, as far as last year's, you know, results, it does seem like it's a much more favorable schedule. Hopefully it stays that way. I'm with you on the holiday thing. I don't love the Thanksgiving evening. It's just going to be really weird having like two home tailgates on holidays. I mean, I guess Thanksgiving could be fun. We'll do like a Randy Moss turkey or something. But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything really else. I'm glad with how it laid out for the most part.
Yeah. There's a stretch here that's kind of unsung, at least from the stuff that I read around the digital stratosphere, that week 13 through week 16 is really advantageous if the Vikings are good. Home against the Jets, at the Lions, home against the Colts, home against the Giants. That's a nice appetizer platter to get ready for this road gauntlet against the Packers and Bears. And I guess I operated under the assumption that the team will be competitive because we're still in the honeymoon phase, but I like that portion of it. It's nice recovery from Murderer's Row with Buffalo, Dallas, and New England. Bryant, on the Miami Vikings game, we now have a date that's October 16th. What are your accommodations usually when you go to a Dolphins game? Do you get a suite, or do you hang out with Serena? What's the deal?
She's usually not at the game, so I use her suite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I nailed that one, huh?
Gotta go to use.
Yeah. Is that suite available for Believe Crew in October 16th?
Probably.
There you go, Ron.
Probably. I was going to check the week before and just see if it's available. And it's available, they just let me use it. That's they let somebody use it because they don't want it to go to waste. So it's like, okay, like, we're not in town.
Yeah.
In October what?
October 16th.
Oh, I thought it was the 12th. They would just
finish the U.S. Open, but yeah, it'd probably be open.
Oh, really? Well, how many folks can get in one of those? I'm a novice with suites.
I've probably asked for 10 tickets. I don't ask for, like, probably more than that.
Oh, really?
But more people can fit in there. But I just feel like, oh, can I get 8 or can I get 10?
Oh, okay. Well, if that were to come to fruition, if you knew beforehand, then I might be able to swing a trip with the wife and I, because I could sell her on the fact that, you know, we get free tickets to the game. We just got to get our asses down there.
Right.
I digress. Mm-hmm. All right. So what else? Another thing that happened since we all chatted that I want to get takes from each of you is the Vikings have a new kicker. We went from a Greg Joseph redemption tour, sort of, to end the season. He looked like the incumbent that was going to be the kicker. And then, bada bing, they signed a guy, Gabe Bursich, from Oklahoma, who young and cool, and he has a 3-year deal. So, Ron, do you think that this guy will just live on the practice squad, or is he actually going to try to push Joseph to the limit? Because, you know, Vikings kicking matters are a big deal.
So, I think well, signing him to the multi-year deal, obviously, it does two things. Because it does, you obviously can bring him in for competition and then bring him in for competition and let him see if he is capable of kicking at this level. And you can always practice squad him. I go back to a few years ago, back when Carolina had Graham Gano, who was a Pro Bowl kicker, and they had Harrison Butker on their practice squad. So I think that they had him on there, but then the Chiefs had an injury. I think it was Cairo Santos. He got hurt and they brought in Butker, and obviously he's been one of the league's best kickers. So the thing is, with Joseph and his like $2.5 million contract, none of it's guaranteed. And that's a pretty high number for a middle of the road kicker. So if this, this college kid comes in and like is wowing everyone, that'll be a place where they can easily save some money on Joseph. And if not, then maybe they put him in the practice squad and hopefully not have another Daniel Carlson type situation where you give up on him early.
Sally, so this Oklahoma kicker, I think it's Greg Bursich. I have to get that down once and for all. I didn't expect that, but he's going to try to snag the job from Greg Joseph. Do you think that that happens this summer, or is this just a grab for later days?
I honestly don't know enough about him to really make any predictions on it. I will just say how relieved I am. I have felt for a long time, and I used to get a lot of pushback on this. I just really felt that Mike Zimmer and his approach towards players didn't work on obviously a lot of guys, but specifically kickers and special teams guys, guys that need to be very mentally sharp and confident. And I think that we saw that with once Blair Walsh was what he was, and then every guy that came in after that, especially, you know, the league and all the guys around saw what he did to Daniel Carlson. And it's impossible to not have that kind of stuff on your mind, right? I mean, everybody handles that stuff differently. So I'm not going to put it 100%. I'm not saying 100% it was Mike Zimmer's fault that we've had these recent kicking inconsistencies, but it certainly didn't help the situation. So I am just excited to, if we are going to have two guys battling out for the job, that I think both of them are going to be in a much more positive headspace than we have seen the last several years. And I don't think it's going to be a lot of anxiety pushing them to feel they need to do well. I think it's more so going to be they just want to do well and compete and earn the job. So better atmosphere for them to succeed.
And with kick, when it comes to kickers, unless you have a Justin Tucker, unless you have one of those elite guys, why not bring in a rookie every year and see what, like, whether it's undrafted or a late draft pick, to see what they have? Because, you know, I know for a fact that last year, Evan McPherson was a guy that the Vikings wanted, and they were going to, I don't know what round it was, they were going to trade up for him, but they got sniped by the Bengals. So, and dude looks like a stud. He's sitting there, you know, putting up or telling his guys, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, you know, like he's got the swag out there that he, you know, the confidence that you want out of the kicker. So
what was his nickname last year? Something Money, right?
I don't even know.
Anyways, yeah, I mean, I've never seen swag like that from a kicker. I mean, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then to hear that at the Super Bowl. And here at the Super Bowl that he was sitting on the sidelines watching the halftime show. Like, I get you're a kicker that, you know, what do you really need to practice or go into team meetings for? Like, you do your job, kick it through the uprights. But that earned a lot of respect from me. Like, dude, just sitting there watching the halftime show front row.
Money Mac.
Yeah.
Money Mac.
Brian, what is your, Money Mac. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brian, what is your experiences with kickers as teammates? Are they typically guys that just kind of keep to themselves and do their own thing? Little
crew. It's like always three of them, where it's like the long snapper, yeah, the kicker, and the punter. Mm-hmm. They're like with each other all day long. But I will say, when I was in Baltimore, Justin Tucker was a very like big personality, mm-hmm, and very fun and kind of mingled with everybody.
What was Chris Cluey like?
Chris was cool too. He talked with a lot of people. Chris was cool too, yeah.
Yeah, Chris seemed a little more, he's obviously a little more, likes a little more attention than most of those guys, yeah, seem like they do. But I haven't heard, what's he up to? I haven't heard from him in a while.
You know, it's funny, whenever we Sally, Ron, and me start lamenting kicker row and all the bad at kicker experiences, we pivot to Bryant. He never has any naughty stories to tell about Vikings kickers. So,
well, he had Longwell, and then
yeah, so know, it was like
Stover
this
over to start in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it was so weird. Like from 2002 to 2010, evidently.
Remember, for Longwell, there was somebody. It was an older man. I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, there was a couple. There was
Gary Anderson.
Morton Anderson. They brought Gary back.
You didn't play with Gary, did no? Gary was,
Gary.
I'll look it up. There was Morton Anderson for
Morton
sure.
Morton Anderson came in, but I Joel think Gary Edinger. Was
like, Gary was like from Australia or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Hold on here. Yeah,
on. We got to get this. Can't believe this.
They brought him back in B-Max rookie year.
Who?
Jeez. Oh,
Gary.
Why would they bring him back? Are you kidding?
You don't remember that?
No.
Why? He wasn't good or something before?
You know, he didn't get cut after the 98 season.
Well, he shouldn't have been cut, but if he left, you mean he left and came back? Or
no, he stayed with the team for 4 more years.
Oh, okay. I thought he went somewhere else and then they brought him back to the Metrodome. Okay.
Yeah, so
he was cool?
They crossed paths, Brian and him, for a single year.
Well, I'm sure he was a great guy, but...
Well, no, I just want to know, like, what is that? Did he have swag? Did he have Gare Money swag? I don't know.
He was 43 when Bryant was there.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying, I knew he was an older guy. I mean, I was 22. He's 43.
He didn't join you on Lake Minnetonka ever?
No, not at all.
That's what he needed. That's what he needed.
I remember him because I felt like he brought in, like, kangaroo meat or something that was weird that I never had before.
Kangaroo meat.
Did you eat it?
That's why I was like... That's how I knew he's from Australia, and I was like, no, I remember Gary.
Yeah, and then 2 years later, they brought in 44-year-old Morton Anderson, and I remember this era vividly because as a young fan, it was like all the other teams had kickers that could hit from 50, and we had these sons of bitches that max was like 38, 39, and I used to be no, seriously, it was. It was like it would get around like the – I remember it vividly, like 30-yard line. I'd be like, oh, shit, I don't know if Morton can hit from there. And you think about the lunacy of that.
Were they watching, related?
No. Okay. One, is, I think, is an Ian, I believe. But they were back and forth on the NFL all-time scoring list for like that. I think they were just waiting each other out, like kind of like Breeze and Brady were doing for a while. Like, who's going to hang him up first? Because I want that all-time scoring record. But it just, yeah, like to your point, it's, you know, you look at the Mike Banderjack and – in Indianapolis, he was a big personality and he was very successful for a while. And then Sebastian Janikowski, like, I mean, they put a first round pick into him, and obviously, like, that's all they needed. They went to the Super Bowl, they lost, but who drafts a kicker in the first round? It's but that guy, you know, you hear the stories about him, but dude could still boom 70 yarders if they needed it.
What year was he drafted?
2001, the year went to the Super Bowl.
So I'm looking at it here now that I'm in my little playground with the numbers. And in 2000, 2001, 2002, and 2004 with Morton Anderson, the Vikings attempted 2 50-yard field goals. That was it.
What? Yep. How many years?
That was, let's see, 4 seasons worth. They didn't even try them. Yeah, and so this is what happens when I do my stats stuff. I see stuff that happens on the TV, and then I'm like, there has to be something to us. And you go dig it up, and you find, sure enough, in those seasons, they tried 2. Beyond 50. And it just
and did they make them?
Yeah. Let's see here. Gary connected on one in 2002. I think I actually remember that, thinking, holy shit, this old guy hit that.
Maybe
both of these guys, both of these guys, they could nail it in their prime from 50. Yeah. So this is just as their geriatric with the Vikings.
Maybe back then when you have Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper, like, maybe that was a good thing to not have a kicker that could kick it from 50, because now it's like, hey, we're at the 40-yard line. We're just going to go for it. Unless they put Berger and had him coffin corner it. But maybe that's the style to go get an old guy who's going to nail everything within 40 and then go for it every other time.
Well, now sometimes it seems like that those guys that are very accurate from like 50 plus mess up on the short ones. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that. Can one of you guys explain that to me?
From my understanding,
elite kicking minds here.
So I can only equate it to golf, and it's because I'm a bad golfer. But it's in the sense of when you're like, so using a club, if you're 200 yards out, sometimes just a comfort level, like you might have a 200 yard club that you can hit straight every single time, but then you pump down to 150 and you just don't have the control because how you need to hit the ball is different. Again, I can't kick for shit. It was whether it's soccer or football, but again, just using the physics side of it, it's always a different in how you approach and how you, your foot placement. And I'll never understand it because that's their one job. Like, I mean, you literally, like, it's like when NBA players can't make free throws. Like, you can go and sit there and practice on it yourself, and the rim is never moving. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same 15 mm-hmm. feet, 10 feet high. It's not changing. You should be able to do it if you're a pro. But that's why, like, the guys like Justin Tucker, like, amaze me, because not only is he has the longest streak, I think, up within 40, but then they trot him out there for a 66-yarder against the Lions, and he nails it.
Yeah. So some etymology on kickers while we're in memory lane. So Gary Anderson stayed on with the Vikings for 4 more years after the infamous 98 miss. And then, then they got Morton Anderson for one hurrah. Do you guys remember the 2003 kicker, out of curiosity?
Was Fuad Revez? Revez,
that was before.
Okay. 2003. Man.
Aaron Ellis.
That was a hint. Who?
Aaron Elling. That's yep. That's the guy that I, when I was at training camp, and he was coming by because everyone was waiting there for Kevin Williams. So well, you know, one of the kids that I was with wanted Kevin Williams' autograph, and so he had his helmet out and wanted the autograph, and Aaron Elling shows up, and I look at him and grab the kid's hand, pull it back. No. And then some people felt bad and had him give an autograph, but then yeah. And then he made the team, and I was like, I'll never forget that name, Aaron Elling.
Yep, and then they went to Morton Anderson, Edinger, and then settled on Longwell in 2006, and the rest was history there.
2006, yep. And how long was he there?
Ooh, let's see, that was quite...
Until Blair Walsh. So Blair Walsh, did you play with Blair Walsh, Bryant?
No, he didn't.
12? No, I think he was drafted.
6 years. 12. 6 years for Longwell, and he played 96 games. So he was more a Packer, 144 games with the Packers. But yeah, he went all the way up until 2011 for the Vikings.
And Ryan Longwell now is a professional golfer, right? I don't think he's on PGA or anything, but
yeah.
So Bryant, you're doing this trip, but do you golf also?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. dance and tennis.
I'm gonna be there and, you know, take some swings, yeah. I guess, try to.
Yeah, if you're getting paid, you'll do anything, right? I mean,
Sally, did you see Rick Spielman dancing?
I did. You know
how... where?
TikTok.
No.
Oh, Bryant, you got... Oh, Bryant! Oh, my God, we got to show you this.
Yeah, get a live
reaction. Oh, my God, Bryant. I can't believe we didn't bring this up earlier. I honestly, I've seen it because you know how it, like, plays as a preview on your feed, but you don't necessarily have to open it and play the music. I never have expanded it because just with the preview I've seen, I said, oh, God, I'm cringing. It's so... Seriously, Bryant, you're not even going to recognize this guy. He has lost it.
So for context, Bryant, he was terminated by the Vikings in January, and then Life After Football is going around podcasts and shows, and then he does TikTok, where he did a bunch of opinion takes on draft prospects, and he was especially fond of Malik Willis, who was drafted in the third round by the Titans, and then just this little nugget of him doing like this white guy version of a floss. It? Yeah, you got to go find it on... like Declan Twitter? Declan Goff, he has a has a tweet of it.
He deleted it off of his own Twitter.
Yeah, TikTok. I don't know that it was supposed to really hit the light of day from Spielman's camp.
This is the one you're talking about, right here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says. It says though that it had a TikTok logo on it. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody got self-conscious. Recorded it and. Oh, you're gonna do it right on the live. I thought you were gonna share him the link.
Oh, I can send him the link.
Yeah, you have to share the link. I want to hear what he's dancing to.
He's doing the dribble. Oh.
Yeah, so he's letting his hair down. Now it doesn't seem like he's going to get the...
I would have never thought he was going to be on TikTok dancing.
No, nor would I. I mean, I never would have thought that about Brad Johnson either, but Brad Johnson does like all this trick shot stuff, footballs and basketball.
Oh yeah, Brad Johnson's is very cool, his TikTok.
Yeah, I asked B-Mac before you guys came on the show, like early on, I think we were about to play the Cowboys in 2020, and I tried to see if B-Mac could get Brad Johnson on, but I don't think we had, well, I know we didn't have any luck.
He would for sure do it.
Reached out to me, I need to connect, because he wanted me to come on the show of his, and we have each other's number now, it's Gus Farad.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He can give us an anti-Kirk speech. Or that's that's Rosenfels. Never mind.
Rosenfels.
Oh, yeah. Sage. Yeah, I would love to have Sage, too.
Oh, yeah. Sally and him are thick as thieves when it comes to that Kirk stuff.
No, I mean, yes, that. But he's a little more than me.
Sage, yeah. I think Sage and I follow each other on Instagram, so I could reach out to him.
Sage, too, has the best stories because he was in that locker room with Brett Favre. Or in the QB room. He has the best Brett Favre stories if you ever read his book.
Do we ever rule out getting Favre, Bryant, for the show?
I felt like you had to probably say it to me again so I can remember to reach out.
No, that's kind of like the final frontier for this show, in my opinion, because we've had Moss, Peterson, Jared Allen, you know, all the big dudes that you played with. Yeah.
Although, Adrian was before my time, so if he ever wants to come back on...
Oh, that's right.
I'd be...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could go show him, tell him how his old house is doing.
Oh, okay.
Adrian hasn't retired, right? Like, no, I know he played last year, but... Okay. Yeah, not officially. Okay.
No, he's in that weird limbo where he won't retire, but he usually signs on for a little bit with a team.
Yeah.
And then, good for him. Scores a touchdown or whatever, and then that's that. Yeah, no, Ron, another I totally
fun
forgot.
One would be Bryant that you're close with that just retired, Frank Gore.
He had another boxing match and he won.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you look at his career, it's one of those where I know you hear the talk, like, is he a Hall of Famer, is he not? But like top five all time in rushing, dude played for so long. That's the thing, longevity has to be a factor, and especially when you're on a list that includes Walter Payton, you know, and all those guys.
Top five of the on these lists.
Yeah. So that would be one that...
the thing is, Frank wasn't like a big personality. Frank just kind of was quiet under the radar and did his job.
Yeah, he was a Tim Duncan-ish.
That's probably what it is. But if you look at like the stats and everything that he's accomplished,
wasn't a diva. And the one thing with him that I'd love to ask him about, like the shared... demise that you and him both had against the Saints, like specifically that when Greg Williams was talking, he was talking about Frank Gore, like the being the head of the snake and, you know, take off the head, the rest of the body dies. So,
All right. Well,
anyway. I want to talk to
Dante.
Dante. Oh yeah.
I bet you could fire that one up.
You got to give me, somebody got to text me a list of people.
So Sally, you got the list?
Yeah. I just texted him the video so I can text him that.
Yeah. Text him the list of who you want, because I learned very on when he and I started the show, all I had to do was mention a name, and within a week or two, the guy comes on. I totally forgot, Ron, that Adrian was like the week before you became a full timer.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, we got to bang that drum again. All right, well, we are out of time, but we'll be back next week, maybe with a guest, maybe Dante Culpepper, maybe Rosenfels. We shall see. Any parting words from anybody?
Well, if there's if there legitimately is any sweet opportunity for that Dolphins game, be sure to let us know. Because
I will,
like I said,
I would definitely know by this time leading into that Sunday.
Okay, because I'll be there regardless, and so
okay.
And if not, then we'll have to plan something.
Or if you just remind me the week before, I'll just put in an order like prior.
There you go, okay. Ron.
Sounds good.
Any closing arguments from Sally?
No, I just want to say I love it that the schedule is out. It feels good just to kind of have things set in stone and know what you're doing. And now that that's out, I mean, training camp is going to be here before you know it. So
it absolutely is.
Very exciting.
We are 116 days from real Vikings football. All right, group, you have a wonderful evening. We'll be back next week, and skull, baby.
Skull.
All right, here we go. Thanks for letting him join a little bit. The milk truck eased into my space. Somebody scream
somewhere. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.